Good morning, family. Good morning. All right. Over 170 times the word joy appears in the scriptures of the Bible. 2,007 times there's a synonym for joy used throughout the Bible. You could make a really good argument that the Bible is full of joy. Now, the irony is we like to celebrate and sing about joy this Christmas season, but we, especially this season, tend to not feel so much joy. In fact, let me just share a couple stats with you. During the season, 88% of people say they feel stressed during the holidays. And you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Tom. Right? We're feeling it. The average couple has 7 arguments during the Christmas season. Some of you are not talking to each other today as a result, right? The food, the relatives, the traditions, what are we doing? 85% of people admit to overeating during the holidays. The other 15%, I'm pretty sure, are lying. And as a result, 42% of people claim that they have to unbutton their pants after a holiday meal. I'm pretty sure the other 58% just let the button shoot off and ricochet around the room. I mean, here we are. It's Christmas, and we like to sing about joy. We like to celebrate joy. We like to talk about during Advent joy, but a lot of times we feel stressed. And before I go any further, I just wanted to open up the stage here a little bit and just ask some of you on stage, have any of you, just let's be honest, felt any sort of stress this holiday season? That guy. I mean, we knew you were first.
I don't know how much time we have here, but so with 4 kids, you know, we have this ideal scenario. Well, my wife loves to decorate the day after Thanksgiving, and we always have, you know, the ideas to get them involved, and they're going to love it. It's going to be sweet and all that. And of course, never actually the case. There's broken ornaments. You know, I laid out all the lights on the floor. We have way too many lights. And within 5 minutes, the kids make them into a maze, and they're just jumping around. Their little feet are breaking the lights, and I'm just like, peace, joy, what do we talk about on Sunday, you know? And as much as we want it to be great, the kids can make it a little challenging, but it's all good.
Real. You got one?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. It's not, I don't have 4 kids, you know, but praise God. No. No, I was going to say, did I say that out loud? Jeez. No, I love kids. No, but for me, I do. For me, it's my family. I mean, both my parents are high risk, and you know, with everything that's going on this holiday season, it's a question of, do we go and visit them for the holidays? Do we wait it out, you know, a little longer? And, you know, they want to spend time with my daughter. They want to spend time, you know, as a family. And, you know, the in-laws, we all have a good relationship. So it's like, you know, it's stressful to make the right decision and not, you know, a selfish one. So.
Yeah, we've got new rules or new decisions to make this Christmas 2020. And that could definitely add some stress. So why? Why do we want to talk about joy? Why do we want to sing about joy? Why do we want to bring joy or talk about it during the Christmas season? And yet, we often don't. That's the last thing we feel. I mean, the Bible, we know, is full of joy. And the Christmas story is full of joy. I like how in the Gospel of Luke starts out the story of Jesus, and he doesn't start with Jesus' birth. He starts it with John the Baptist's birth and an angel visiting Zechariah and saying that, hey, you're going to have a son. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 13-14, it says, and his birth will bring you much joy. When we go to Matthew and flip over there to Matthew chapter 2, and we have the story of the Magi and the wise men, and they see the star. It says they were so ecstatic that they shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy. And then when we get to the angels and the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, and the angel shows up and says, don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. You see, God wants you to have great joy this Christmas season. In fact, if you look at that verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, when it gets to that part where it says great joy, if you go back to the original Greek in which the text was written, it wouldn't just say great joy. It'd be more like mega joy, like joy that you cannot fathom, that goes beyond your understanding, bigger than you can explain. In fact, the Bible is so full of joy, and that joy comes from the good news of the Bible. And so there's so much good news in the Bible that we decided to call the Bible the good news. We call it the gospel, which means good news. But for many of us, we struggle with that message. We wrestle with that message because somewhere along the line, some of that good news started sounding like bad news. Maybe you grew up in church and you sat in the pews there at church and you heard sermons about how you'll never be good enough. There's never enough that you're going to be able to do. And you probably walked away feeling as if God is somehow disappointed in you. And there's no joy in those sermons when you thought about church and the Bible. It didn't sound like good news. Maybe some of you went to Sunday school and you didn't find much joy in the lessons of Sunday school. You just kept learning about all the don'ts. You know, don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls that do. It's you know, don't do it. If it sounds like fun, don't do it. You know, it's a sin probably, and God wants you to be miserable somehow. But we do. We walked away with these ideas, and something happened along the way where the good news started sounding like bad news, and we started to lose our joy. Do you know that the average child laughs 400 times a day? The average adult laughs just 15 times a day. What happened? What happened? How do we lose so much joy? Well, I have some good news for you today. And that is the Bible over 170 times talks about how we can have joy. And today I just want to talk about three ways that we can have more joy this Christmas season. So if you want more joy this Christmas season, you're going to want to tune in to this message I have for you today and tune into what the scriptures reveal about joy. And I want to start off in Luke. But before I get to those three reasons, we need the setting. And the setting is really not very filled with joy. Now, if we go to the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke, the thing I like about Luke is Luke doesn't start off the story of Jesus by saying, once upon a time in a land far, far away. No, what Luke says is, I've interviewed all the eyewitnesses, I've crunched all the numbers, I've gathered all the facts. This is the historical account of a man named Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, he doesn't start off by going, this is just a nice story. No, he says, this is history. And so Luke starts it off, and we know the main players of the Christmas story. We know that there's Mary and there's Joseph. And for Mary and Joseph, it wasn't like Christmas morning was like, oh, it's so wonderful. No, it was just another bad day for Mary and Joseph. I mean, here they are, an odd couple, and they live in a country, a conquered country, under a hated empire. She's already pregnant before they got married. There's tension there. And here Joseph comes along and says, hey, Mary, I know you're 9 months pregnant, but we've got to take a long trip to my podunk town where I grew up. And the only reason we got to do this is because that king we hate has a really big ego, and he wants to count how big his empire is and see what a great king he is. And that's how Christmas begins. It's just another bad day. But something happens outside the fields of Bethlehem. Who's got, I think Hans, can you read for us Luke chapter 2, verse 8?
Yes, for sure. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
Yeah. One, let's just notice one thing. You ever notice how God shows up at night? I don't know about you, but I'm glad God shows up at night, because a lot of times I can get through the daytime, but at night is when the temptations come in. At night is when the bad things happen. I mean, you can think of every horror movie you've ever seen, right? The bad things happen at night. But that's when God often shows up. God will show up in the dark places. And God will also show up in the dirty places. The fields of Bethlehem, dirty place. I mean, it's 6 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is where all the clean people lived. They had the temple of the Lord. They had all those artifacts we kept preaching about for months. And they could go and be cleansed and forgiven. But not shepherds. Shepherds were considered unclean. Shepherds were considered dirty. I mean, they spent their day in manure-filled fields hanging out with dumb sheep. And there was no kid who said, hey, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd. That just wasn't how it goes. I mean, it was a poor man's job. And because they were considered unclean, they weren't allowed to go to Jerusalem. They weren't allowed to go to the temple and be cleansed and be forgiven. So if there's anybody in the story who's starting out going, I'm pretty sure God's disappointed in me, it would be the shepherds. And so here the shepherds are, fearful already about what God thinks of them. And then angels show up, and it says they were terrified. Why? Don't they know that angels are in precious moment stores and they look like little children and got, you know, disproportional wings and they're real friendly? Angels are always terrifying in the Bible. That's why they always have to start out by going, don't be afraid. I mean, they're terrifying. And so if you're a shepherd and you're convinced that God's disappointed in you and a terrifying angel shows up, you're thinking, this guy's come to take me out. God is about to make right what I've been making wrong. And so they are terrified, but we get to know that that's not how the story continues. Griffin, can you read for us verse 10 of Luke chapter 2?
Sure. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.
All right, let's talk about joy. How can we have more joy? I think there's at least three things we can learn this morning from the actions of these shepherds. Three lessons that we can take away. And in these lessons, we've got to understand what joy is not, so we can also understand what joy actually is. So the first thing we see the shepherds do is the shepherds said, let's go. They didn't say, let's go hide and hope these angels don't come back and maybe they won't hold us accountable. No, they decided, they said, okay, let's go check this out. Let's go pursue this good news of great joy that we've heard about. The other day, I was having breakfast with a friend, and for some reason, we started talking about the Declaration of Independence. And we're talking about those unalienable rights that the Declaration of Independence says as human beings we have. The right to life, we have the right to liberty, and we have the right to happiness, right? Wrong. We have the right to the pursuit of happiness. It's like, life, that's yours. Liberty, you got it. Happiness, good luck. Yeah, I think a lot of times we misconstrue that. We think as Americans, we have the right to feel good. Wow. Okay. And actually what our Declaration of Independence says, no, we have the right to pursue good. There's a difference. So let me just tell you something that I hope is freeing for you today. Joy is not the need to feel a certain way. Joy is not the need to feel a certain way. In fact, joy is not the absence of hurt. It's not the absence of sadness. It's not, joy is not a day where there's no problems. You know, joy, God's joy is bigger than your pain and bigger than your problems. You're not gonna get joy by praying for a feeling. You're just not. However, you might experience joy by the what's and the who you decide to pursue in this life. You see, joy is less about your feelings and more about your attitudes. And I think the lesson we can learn right away from the shepherds is simply this. Joy is not the absence of pain. It is the pursuit, a pursuit with purpose. Joy, you got an appropriate name this morning. Can you read for us? The writer of Hebrews, he gives some great ideas on how to pursue a life of purpose. Can you read for us Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1?
And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
All right, thank you. So there's some what's that are, some things that are marked out for us in our life, but the writer of Hebrews says, yes, but there's a really important who that we need to pursue. You cannot have joy without Jesus. He must be the who you pursue. And if you pursue him, then he will give you some purposeful what's. Some what's to pursue, some meaningful, like what's my next step, or what can I do to help this world, or what can I do to reach so-and-so. And I often talk to people who like to pretend that they don't know what God wants them to do next in their life. Like, what are some of those what's God wants us to do? I can just tell you, if you read the good news, you'll get some good ideas. I mean, that's what the good news is full of, all sorts of what's for us. A lot of it has to do how we love and serve the people around us. It's not like we don't have access to the information, we just like to avoid the obligation. And we'll often fear the discomfort and pain that often comes with obedience. In fact, in that passage, it says that even Jesus experienced joy and that joy was set before him. It mentions his joy, and then notice in the next phrase, it mentions his cross. Yeah, and let's be clear, Jesus did not find joy in the event of the cross, but Jesus did find joy in the guaranteed outcome of the cross. Jesus did not find joy in the feeling of hanging on the cross. It's not like the nails hurt less because he was God, but it was joy found within the pursuit of his purpose. You know, it's different to go through pain when it's in pursuit of a purpose. It's different than to go through pain when there is no purpose. It's like the difference of my son Mason, our middle son, he weighs about 90 pounds right now, and it's like if I'm walking through the house and Mason decides to surprise me, which he sometimes does, and decides to jump on my back, and that 90-pound weight, all of a sudden I feel like every, you know, disc on my back has slipped all at once, and there's pain. It's different than me intentionally taking 90 pounds of weights and putting it on a weightlifting bar and bench pressing it in my garage as a warm-up, of course, by the way. But the let's make that clear. Make sure that's on the video. My wife's not here till next service. That's different when you're expecting it, when there's intention with the pain, when pain is a part of that pursuit to something with purpose. It's different when you're expecting it. It's different when it's purposeful. I mean, Jesus was not surprised by the beatings. He wasn't surprised by the jeerings, by the blood, by the spitting, but pain was meaningful because it was part of a pursuit to a greater purpose. And so he was able to count it as joy. Let me just ask you, this morning, what scary purpose is God calling you towards? What next step that if you are honest, you know God's been telling you, hey, I'd like you to go over here. Where do you need to say today, let's go? Let's go. Andrew, can you read for us Luke chapter 2, verse 16 through 17?
Yep. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child.
All right. Second thing we see the shepherds do, the shepherds went and they saw Jesus. If you want more joy this season, then you need to see Jesus. Look, it can be easy this season to miss him. There's so much going on around us, and we can get lost in all the what's and all the who's we don't have this Christmas season. In fact, the best way for you to stop being happy is to ask the question, am I happy? You know, because with that question, we start doing this. We start trying to answer this question by looking around and comparing ourselves to other people and going, what are they doing? What vacation did they go on? What dress did she just buy? What's she wearing? Look how happy they looked. What do they think of me? Nobody wins in the game of comparison. You cannot judge somebody else's situation according to another person's calling. You and I can't judge our gifts in comparison to other people's talents and expect to have joy this season. And for some of you, you would so much more enjoy this life that God has given you if you would just stop doing this and looking around at what everybody else is doing and what they're posting and what they're saying. I mean, it's hurting my neck right now to do it. Imagine what it's doing to your soul. It'll destroy the very joy that God has already given us. Because joy is less about a possession that we can grasp onto and more of a perspective we can have. The second lesson we can learn is joy is not found by looking around. It's on focusing what is right there in front of you. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, in that verse that Joy read, it said that Jesus had joy set before him, set right there before him. Last week, Kurt talked about goals. And as I was listening, there's some wrong goals I put. I'm like, oh man, I messed that up. But I know I got one right. I put earlier this year, I wrote down a goal that was an internal success goal. And it was to simply enjoy the joy-filled moments. Because I realized that's more and more difficult for me. You know, God has placed so much joy set right before me in my life, but I can find myself looking around, what's everybody else doing, or looking too far forward in the future, looking too far behind me in the past, that I'll miss what Jesus is doing right there in the moment, and I'll miss it. And something else I've learned is sometimes it's right before me and I'll miss it as soon as I try to capture it. As soon as I try to post it, I'll miss it. In fact, I want to show you a picture. This is a picture of my family. It's a couple years ago. It was an Easter picture, and they're out in front of the church. And we look pretty happy. We look like we're filled with joy. We are lying through our teeth in that moment, all right? In fact, the photographer caught some pictures before we got to this moment. I just want to show you some of the things the photographer caught. You see, it actually started, my kids wanted to play on the rocks. And so we're like, stop playing on the rocks. You got to look at, you know. And so we're pulling them off. And it was, you know, leave your sister alone. Nope, don't you go up. We keep going back. You keep going, yep. And then so we finally get them down. And then one son, he's like, I got a great idea. Let me put my sunglasses on. His mom's like, put your sunglasses away. And we're just going back and forth. Yep, there it is. Yep. And we're still, get your hands off your sister. And you know, and so we're, and then we get to this. That's how it works, right? If you're not there to be there to enjoy it in the moment, you'll miss it. You see, joy will always be a focus before it ever starts to be a feeling. It'll be a way of seeing what God has placed in front of you. And the shepherds saw Jesus. The shepherds saw Jesus. Where do you see Jesus? Where do you see him right now? What is he trying to do right in front of you? What joy has he set before you? Let me just see if I can help us a little bit. On the count of three, would you just breathe in with me? One, two, three. Breathe in. Let's breathe out. See, Jesus is doing something in this very moment. He's given us some joy set before us, and it's the kind of joy that Ebenezer Scrooge, is the reason he's dancing down the street at the end of the Christmas carol. It's why George Bailey is running through Mumford Falls. Why? Because God has given us new breath and he's given us another day to experience joy. And there's joy that he's just set before us right here in that moment. But if we aren't there to enjoy it in the moment, we'll miss it. And if you want more joy this holiday season, you'll ask and you'll look for, Jesus, what are you doing right here, right now? John Mark, can you read for us Luke chapter 2, verse 17?
Sure. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Third thing we see that the shepherds did is the shepherds spread the word. You know, there's joy when you have something great to share with somebody else. There's just joy in that. I know for many of you, you've started a tradition that my family has started years back where we've partnered with Harborside, we've partnered with Operation Christmas Child. And we've taken shoe boxes and we'll go out as a family and we'll stuff them full of goodies and toys and pack them all up and then they'll get shipped out to countries around the world where children will open up these boxes and this will be, for a lot of them, the best and or only Christmas gift they'll receive this season. In fact, I just want us to take a moment and just see a video of some of the reactions of kids opening up these boxes that you and I have prepared. Let's watch this. If you want more joy during the season, then you need to understand that joy of the season is going to be a lot less about what you're getting this Christmas and way more about what you're giving. The third lesson we can really learn is that joy is less about joy to you and more about joy through you. Before we go any further, I do want to just take a moment and I just want to ask you guys, just what does it look like to carry joy through you to others? What does it look like to carry joy?
Joy? Okay, so joy is not something that we can manufacture. Okay, so we know that. We know that. It's obvious. But we need to just remind ourselves, remind our souls, it's not something manufactured. It's not something that we can just drink more coffee and feel more joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So if we want more joy, we need more Spirit. Mm. I know it's an easy formula, but spending time in the secret place with the Spirit of God will produce the fruit of joy in your life. I am a living, walking testimony of that. When I am not in the secret place with God, it is a manufactured coaxing all day long. Don't complain. Don't be toxic. Be filled with joy. When I'm in the secret place with the Holy Spirit is an overflow of joy. So you want more joy? Try more Spirit.
That's good. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think in a season like this, we have a great opportunity. And for many of us, this can be a stressful season and we don't know what we can give. But one of the greatest gifts that we can give in this season is actually your words, is what you say. And there's this idea of encouragement, but if you separate that from worldly encouragement and heavenly encouragement looks like what you were saying, Tom, which is it's seeing God's purpose in speaking that over someone's life. It's seeing Jesus and having something amazing to say to someone, having something amazing to tell someone what God is doing in their life. It looks like, hey, God's purpose for your life is fill in the blank. God is doing this in your life. And we have such an amazing opportunity. I think it's highly underrated.
Yeah. All right, Andrew, you gave me an idea. Let's do this. I want you to, let's just see if we could practice this for a moment. I want you to just see if you could think of somebody. If maybe God brings a name to your heart. A name of somebody. I know we always do this, but I want you to go ahead and take out your cell phone. All right? Don't check your notifications or emails. That's not what this is about. I want you to think of that person, and I want you to text them. I want you to text them a message. What do you think they need to hear from God today? What do they need to be? What kind of joy do they need to receive through you? What do they need to hear from God today? So let's just take a moment and let's text somebody who's on our heart. And if you're watching this later, the challenge, you're not off the hook. You have to do this as well. I want to challenge you to be like the shepherds and spread the joy that we have through Jesus and send somebody a message of joy today. They're doing that, I'm going to ask you to read that verse that we've read a couple times today one more time. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 10.
Sure. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people."
Good news, great joy for everyone, for all people. You see, we know there's a lot of people who are wrestling right now with whether or not the Bible is really good news. A lot of people who are wondering, you know, what happened? Because everybody says it's good news, but it really sounds like bad news for me. You know, I think somewhere along the line, the good news started sounding like bad news when we started giving an incomplete message. Sometimes the good news becomes bad news when it starts sounding more exclusive than it sounds inclusive. I've asked the team to put up a picture here. This is called the Slave Bible. It was a Bible that was printed and published and passed around in the 1800s in America. It was a Bible that the slave owners handed out to the slaves. And over 50% of the scriptures were missing. 50% of the scriptures in the Bible, because the slave owners didn't want slaves reading about a God who would take a slave like Joseph and let him rise to the second most important person in all of Egypt. They had to take out like all of Exodus pretty much. They didn't want the slaves reading about a God who delivered slaves and out of Egypt and raised them into a great nation and so that they could bless the entire world, including us today. They didn't want them reading scriptures like Galatians 3:28 that says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It was good news for the slave owners and bad news for the slaves, because it was an incomplete gospel. And we got to be careful. We got to be careful because the good news is for all people. And when the good news starts becoming good news for some people and bad news for other people, then it's no longer good news. And if it's no longer good news, then it's no longer the gospel. Amen. And if we catch ourselves asking this season, if we catch ourselves asking, that's great, Tom, but what about those people? Then we need to back up a second and say, well, what about us? Because the truth is, every single one of us here on the planet is not good enough. There's not enough we can do. But God does not have a message of disappointment for us this season. No, he's got some good news for everyone. Every single one of us can have new life through Jesus. Every single one of us can go from sinner to saint through Jesus. We can all have mega joy. And that's the message we need to share. That's the message that God has to be delivered through us this season. You know, God wants you and everyone around you to have great joy this Christmas. That's why he sent Jesus. And I know we can look around and we can see bumper stickers and we can see signs and they'll say things like, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's partially true in message. But the whole reason that Jesus came to this earth was for you. You are the purposeful pursuit. And so you are the reason for the season. And so is that person next to you. And so is your neighbor the reason for the season. So is your coworker and your boss the reason for the season. So is your annoying relative. They are the reason for the season. So is your enemy. That person who has hurt you, they're still the reason for the season. That person you think is too far gone, they're the reason for this season. Jesus came for us all. And so if you want more joy this Christmas season, then you'll go where Jesus wants you to go. And you'll see what he wants you to see. And you'll share what he wants you to share. And my friends, that is some good news.